There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday. Live local talk over this hour. Programming note with Auburn Hoops coming on at 6 tonight. What's Working with Cam Marston that usually comes on at 6 will be airing at 1 o'clock today, so a special one-hour edition of Midday Mobile. Special in the fact that it's 50% shorter. So it's special. So we're going to get it done this hour, though. Glad you're here. And, of course, my buddy Cam comes on right after me in the 1 o'clock hour. Phone number, text line, 343-0106. And just let me take 1 second here, too. Dalton, I mean, you can, if you want to come in here during the segments and eat those shrimp, that's fine. They're or I'm going to go put them in the refrigerator as we're enjoying some U-12s, some big Gulf shrimp. I know I like to just emphasize and drag out those words when I talk to my buddy Todd Stacey with the Alabama Daily News. We're down here having some fresh Gulf shrimp as we do a radio show. You know, we're just eating shrimp and hanging out.
Oh, man, that sounds pretty good. I'm jealous.
See, we fit the portrait that they paint of us up in Montgomery. We're all just sitting down here drinking margaritas, eating shrimp, and not doing much. You're in the Statehouse right now, right?
That's right. That's right. Here in the Statehouse, between the Statehouse and the Capitol, and the legislature is, they're trying to wrap up their organizational session. You know, they've met this week, not for the regular session, not for the passing laws time, but for the organizational session. That's when, you know, the leadership is elected and all the committees are put together and they adopt rules for the governing body and things like that. So they're trying to work through that. They should be done today.
Yeah, I mean, I saw yesterday we had the votes to confirm for Senate President Pro Tem and then for Speaker of the House. Those were no big surprises. I think we had the one abstaining vote or one no vote or something like that. I think that was even in the House.
That's right. Yeah, no surprises, really. I think what you saw was Representative Mary Moore from Birmingham, who abstained, or I think maybe voted for herself. Really just to make a point, you know what, like, you know, maybe that more a diverse selection should be made available in the future. You know, that's fine. I mean, you have things like that. I think the last speaker election, you had Alvin Holmes vote against. So but those are very few and far between. But these elections are, you know, kind of a foregone conclusion. Mac McCutcheon, he'll continue to be the speaker. You know, he represents Huntsville and the legislature, the Madison-Huntsville area. And, of course, Del Marsh was elected President Pro Tem of the Senate. That's really the person in charge of the flow of legislation in the Senate. Of course, new in the Senate this year, we'll have a lieutenant governor. Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, or I guess Lieutenant Governor-elect at this point, Will Ainsworth is here. He's been taking meetings and been very present in the State House. So, yeah, look, it's kind of like the first day of school. Everybody's back. We've had an election. Everybody's back. But we'll have to wait until March for all the real lawmaking to get done.
Yeah, I want to get into that with you as well. You mentioned that about Will Ainsworth, from being a rep to becoming the lieutenant governor to having his name at least discussed. I don't know if he's pushing this, Todd, or it's other people out there, but talking this morning with our buddy Jeff Poore about people that may be contenders for Senate in 2020, and his name came up on that list.
Absolutely. And look, I mean, he'd be foolish not to just at least consider it, and here's why. You know, he just ran for statewide office for lieutenant governor, really came out of nowhere to beat the front runner in Twinkle Cavanaugh. ran a, by all accounts, a really good race. He's a self-funder. You know, the, he has plenty of his own money. So, and he's a very young man. I believe he's 38, 39 years old. So, you know, relatively speaking, young, could serve in the Senate for a while. So he's got a lot of just factors working in his favor. And having just ran a statewide race, you have, you know, instant name identification. Normally, if you started from scratch there, you've got to spend millions of dollars to get that kind of name ID. He's already got it. So, yes, I think he's on anybody's short list as far as candidates who would consider it. Of course, the news this week came from Del Marsh, President Pro Tem Del Marsh, who is at least testing the waters by hiring a consultant to do some polling and some, you know, political consulting on the race. And so I look for Ainsworth, you know, he would probably yield to a Del Marsh. They are, have a very close relationship. I don't expect the two of them to run against each other. So I would look for either one of them, Will Ainsworth or Del Marsh, to be the primary opponent of Bradley Byrne, who, I mean, I know he hasn't announced, but I guess Bradley's running, right? I mean, we're pretty confident
him,
he's running.
I've asked him three different times on the show, Todd, and he's said there's announcements forthcoming. So that's what I've gotten.
Well, as far as the Montgomery scene is concerned, people will just figure he's running. You know, he's on every – that's already – you know, in the in the basket, so to speak. But these other opponents would be considerable, you know, Del Marsh or Will Ainsworth. But look, you know, I've known Bradley a while. He runs tough, he runs hard, and he's been preparing for this for a while.
You know, the one thing I think about is, you're right, hearing people from the northern end of the state and people like you telling me that, you know, Will Ainsworth and Del Marsh drink from the same pitcher, in other words, for funding and those kind of things, so it'll be one or the other. Then you look at, okay, let's say it's, I don't know, let's pick one. It's Del Marsh, and I'm not saying it is, but it's Del Marsh versus Bradley Byrne. If those two, with great name recognition, go head-to-head, remember what happened when Bradley Byrne was running for governor? Remember when he had big known names that beat each other, bludgeoned each other with the help of AEA and other outside sources? But you were left with this guy from, I don't know, Tuscaloosa. He was a dermatologist, I think. His name was Robert Bentley, and he ended up winning. Basically, you know, the bar fight broke out, everybody knocked each other out, and he was still standing. You could have, could you have that kind of situation in the Senate race?
Oh, I definitely think so. And in fact, you may have had that with the last Senate race with, you know, Roy Moore and Luther Strange. And, you know, Luther had some primary opponents that they kind of beat up on him, and it made him a lot weaker for the runoff with Roy Moore. So absolutely, that political dynamic always exists. I do think, however, at least in Congressman Byrne's case, he knows that better than anybody. He learned that lesson the hard way. And so I've even heard him talk about sometimes, not in a very political way, but just a common sense way, like, hey, we can't do that again. We know what that got us. What that ultimately got us was, you know, the Doug Jones in the U.S. Senate. That whole episode led to that. And so he's actually got a good narrative, a good story to tell as far as lessons learned from that debacle.
Yeah, we're just joining us, talking to Todd Stacey with the Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. And before we run to the news break, I'll come back. I got lots to ask you. But remind folks, if they want to get the newsletter that has what they need to know each morning in their inbox, how do they do it?
That's right. Just go to aldailynews.com. That's the website. Right there on the homepage, you can click subscribe. Just enter your name and your email, and you'll be signed up. It's free, no cost at all. But every morning you'll get the daily news from me, and that runs down the various stories, whether it's from here in Montgomery or from up in Washington, D.C., with a little bit of analysis for, you know, what it actually means, what's going to happen next, things like that. So, yes, please go sign up.
Okay, what we do next is ask for more of that analysis from Todd Stacey. Come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the Montgomery scene and then on to Washington when we return right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1220 FM Talk 106.5, and Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Dr. Bill updates us on our forecast in just a few minutes here, 58 now, at our studios. And talking to Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com, a place where you can link up, get that newsletter delivered to your inbox each morning, which is going to be, it's already a great thing to have, but going forward into session, holy cow, you're going to be typing until 2 in the morning every day.
Yeah, sometimes it's drinking from a fire hose, but somehow we'll get it done.
Hey, you mentioned when you talked about Will Ainsworth, you said he is Lieutenant Governor-elect, and it made me think about the fact that actually, you know, Governor Kay Ivey is, well, she's governor because she was already governor. It's not official, I guess, until the inauguration ceremony, and then before that, the big party down here in the south end of the state. She's actually down here today. She was touring some schools. Do you make anything of it? I mean, maybe it's just the syndrome of being from Southwest Alabama that makes me feel like, wow, she's doing part of her inauguration or her party. She's doing it here in our area. Is there a tell, or she just likes the beach?
Well, good question, but I think it's a great idea. I don't know if there's really anything behind it as far, you know, politically speaking. One thing that I noticed is that, you know, she's trying to show off that brand new lodge, you know, State Park Lodge that is down there. It took forever to build. I mean, the last two governors have tried to get it going, and she gets to cut the ribbon on it. She gets to celebrate it. So I think that's part of it, is getting to, you know, celebrate the Gulf Coast, brag on the new lodge. But I think it's a great idea to extend the inaugural festivities to other parts of the state. I'd like to see more of that. I'd like to see Birmingham involved and Huntsville involved. Just to sort of bring in everybody to what it means to, you know, have a new term, have, you know, what it means for her to be elected in her own right, and for her to, you know, connect with people outside of Montgomery.
Yeah, I was just hoping it showed some kind of, it wouldn't be favoritism, just evening out of, you know, I think rightly so, we get a feeling down here that we might as well be a colony of the state of Alabama, you know, a very lucrative colony for the state, but a colony.
Oh, sure. Look, I've been in state politics for a while, and I can assure you that almost every corner of the state kind of has that feeling that, well, we get left out, or we get, you know, we don't get the road money that we deserve. I think in South Alabama, there's a special case because so much revenue comes from there. So much revenue comes from the port. So much revenue comes from the beaches. And so, yeah, you'd like to see a lot of that coming back home. A lot of that also comes from the BP settlement. I mean, people were very disappointed with the sort of the split and how that was handled, I guess, by Luther Strange and Robert Bentley. So, you know, you got some good points to argue there. But I will say this, the local representatives and senators, yeah, you got a strong bunch that you send to Montgomery every year. So, you know, I have no doubt they're going to be trying to pull some money back down to Mobile and Baldwin.
Guaranteed. All right. One more Alabama story that I do want to get some reaction from you to what's going on in Washington. But I first heard this discussed on our on Saturdays, our Prep Sports Report, the show with a discussion of high school sports in our area. And it came up, the discussion of suspended high school basketball player. Is it Maori or Maori Davenport?
Maori.
Yes. What is? Can you give people the cliff notes on what's going on? They may have heard that there's something going on. They just don't know the whole story.
Yeah. So, Maori Davenport. She's a senior in high school. She's at Charles Henderson. That's over in Troy. Probably the best basketball player in the state. And she was so good that she signed with Rutgers, which is obviously a great basketball school. And she was on the USA Olympic team. So Team USA, she got to play for it. You know, of course, that's an amateur deal. But after that happened, Team USA sent her a check to reimburse her for expenses and lost wages. Now, they weren't supposed to do that. And so when that's against the amateur rules to take any kind of payment. Well, it was a mistake. Team USA was the one that made a mistake, and they actually called the athletic department, and there was just a lot of confusion. But also, according to the rules, if you pay it back, if it was a clear, inadvertent mistake, and you pay it back, then it shouldn't be a penalty. That's why they're so upset. So this young lady has been suspended. She's been ruled ineligible to play high school sports for her senior season. You know, should be having the time of her life, and she's having to go through this. And she didn't do anything wrong. There was no fault here. They're just applying a rule and saying, hey, can't do anything about it. Got to apply the rules evenly. And I'm telling you, this thing is catching fire because people see it as a basic unfairness. Why are we penalizing this student athlete who we really should be celebrating as a state that, man, she's, you know, one of the best in the country, and we're not even allowing her to play? It coincided with the legislature coming in this week and a lot of lawmakers saying, hey, well, maybe we need to take a look at how the Alabama High School Athletic Association is run. Because there's a lot of folks with grievances over sort of the governance and the leadership of high school sports in the state.
Well, and it seems to me this is that zero tolerance kind of stuff. You know, the kid that bites his sandwich into the shape of a handgun, and they rule it that he's got a gun at school. You know, and well, I'm sorry, but we're not allowed to make a decision here. Seems like there's got to be some cooler heads at AHSAA that realize they've really stepped in it here.
I totally agree. And, you know, I think everybody understands that it's very important to have rules making sure that athletes don't take payments and things like that. Of course, that should be the case. But there's got to be some common sense, and there's got to be some grace when there were mistakes made. And I don't think you should treat any case as special. Just the fact that she's a star really shouldn't matter. But the fact that she's a star is bringing a lot of attention to perhaps a pretty unfair process. I mean, ESPN is all over this. She was in the State House yesterday meeting with pretty much the entire legislature. I don't think this is going away. I think the Athletic Association really has egg on its face here, and if they don't turn it around, things can really get out of hand.
All right, I got to ask you here in the last few minutes, your experience in politics for so long. You got to give me your take on it. Put on your commentator hat here. So President Trump is in his corner. The Democrats, of course, you had Schumer and Pelosi looking like my parents did when they figured out I had a house party while they were out of town last night when they opened up. I thought I was busted for something from mom and dad. But you have this huge chasm between the two. Negotiation, you think it's happening behind closed doors and they're just playing this for the cameras? Or do you think there really is this big a difference between the differences between the Democrats and the president and the Republicans?
Well, I definitely think there's a big divide. And here's the difference. We've got to remember what has happened in the last 2 weeks. Democrats now control the House of Representatives. So if you go back 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago or a couple of months ago, really when they should have been doing this negotiation, President Trump always had in his back pocket, you know, the fact that the House could pretty much pass a funding bill with whatever he wants. They can't do that now. I think they could probably work with the Senate. I think, you know, there are enough Democratic votes you could probably get over and vote for a compromise. In the House, I don't know if you're there, because unless you can get all the Republicans on board and a handful of Democrats, it won't pass. So that's the political dynamic that scares me. The Democratic majority in the House has gone so far to the left, and they've made a lot of promises on immigration. Sean, just take for instance what, you know, AOC, the Ocasio-Cortez, said on MSNBC last night. Here's Pelosi saying, you know, borders are immoral. But AOC, you know, the new socialist from up in New York, says not only that, we need to abolish ICE. Not only are we not going to fund the border, but we want to abolish ICE. We want to quit funding the very enforcement officers that keep us safe. That is just to illustrate how far, you know, to the left that they've gotten on this. And it's just hard to come back to the middle when you've said things like that. So I don't know. I would like to think that negotiations are still going on. I look to people like our own Senator Richard Shelby. He knows how to make deals. He knows how to negotiate. And he's the chairman of the Appropriations Committee. Man, I hope he's got some magic up his sleeve, because they are very far apart.
All right. Well, we'll talk more about this, I'm sure, next week, because I have a feeling it's not over anytime soon. People can read more about this, of course, when they go to Alabama Daily News. And you also say you like the response. You want to hear from us, the colony down here in Southwest Alabama.
I love getting feedback. You know, I send the email out every morning, and, you know, it's just my email address. So people reply all the time saying, hey, you got this right, or you got this wrong, or, hey, tell me more about this. And I love getting feedback. That's what it's all about. You know, we're not some kind of stuffy news organization. It's me and a couple of great team members putting together the news every day, you know, for you, for the reader. So, yeah, please hit me up.
There we go. As always, I appreciate his insight. Live from Montgomery, he's right there standing outside. Maybe he's in the State House now. Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News. We're coming right back. We'll grab some phone calls at 343-0106. Plus, we'll hear from President Trump himself.